Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed. Well, guys, welcome back to the Worcester Naz podcast. So glad that you've joined us. And I am sitting here with Pastor Jeremy.
Yes.
Say hello to the people.
Yes. Hello. Hi, everybody.
And while Pastor Jeremy did not preach this week, we are going to get in and kind of talk about the sermon a little bit here. But one of the things that we've kind of been doing is doing a little bit of a get to know you with staff when they're on here. Obviously, we've done that with Pastor Delaney because she's brand new to everybody, and we wanted to kind of give her an opportunity to do that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, with the church growing and being where it's at, there's a lot of people who don't necessarily know our backstories. They don't know our history. And so we don't want to take that for granted. And this being kind of a living room vibe and setup, we want to have an opportunity to bring people in and kind of chat through some of those things. So first of all, always glad to have any of us on here, but glad to have you today. And this is the first time we've been paired up here.
Yes.
Which is great. And I'm excited about that. Yes. So let's just talk about you a little bit first. Just kind of want to know a little bit about you, your family, and I'll ask you a few specific questions if I don't feel like I'm getting what I want. But yeah, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your family.
How far back do we
As far as you want.
Probably the best part is just I'm a Pittsburgh native. Mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody loves that.
All of his sports team loyalties make sense, unlike Pastor Joel. I'm still trying to figure out Pastor Joel's sports loyalties.
And I don't understand Cleveland sports. All your teams have different colors. Mm-hmm. Our baseball, our hockey, our football, all our teams are black and gold. I don't know.
So if I had my druthers, every city would be like a college where they're the same mascot.
Same mascot.
So they'd either all be the Cleveland Browns, but it would be Cleveland Browns basketball, Cleveland Browns, you know, or Cavs or whatever it may be. Just pick one and go with that. I know. Monetarily, that doesn't make sense. They make more money off of all the other things.
Money thing.
Anyway, that's
I grew up in Pennsylvania, and grew up in a Catholic family, and we never missed Mass and went to church all the time. Probably when I was about 10, 11 years old, my parents started to get into the Bible and started reading the Bible a lot more and having a lot more questions at the same time. My mom got pregnant, which she was not supposed to get pregnant because she had Crohn's disease, and she was living on prednisone. And anytime she would go off prednisone, violent pain. Maybe some of our viewers even know that disease and know that illness. But so they just made a faith trek right there, and they decided we are not going to have an abortion. We are going to get off of the prednisone and suffer through this. And it was probably the worst pregnancy maybe she had had. I remember as a little boy, her knocking. It was the old phones. Anybody remember the old phones?
Oh, yeah.
They hung on the wall and you had to dial. She knocked it off with a broom to call my grandma over to help her out one day. But to God be the glory, she made it through the whole nine months, had twins. That she didn't even know she was having twins at the time. I don't know how you do that when you're delivering and then they're like, there's another baby there. Had twins, and then since then has never really gone back on prednisone.
Oh, wow.
And my parents just believe that God healed her through this process.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's I'm going
no,
way off.
No, that's great.
Here.
This is great. I've never heard this.
This is an amazing story. So like, so today, I mean, does she have some irritable bowel stuff sometimes?
Yeah.
If she eats crazy seed foods, but for the most part, healed and God has healed her from that. I graduated and just didn't know what I was going to do in life.
Yeah.
I went to college and thought I'll just be a math major. Changed my major three times in 3 years. I got involved in Christian group on campus called InterVarsity. And we were doing Bible studies in every dorm. We were having prayer meetings every day around lunchtime. We had a large group meeting. God's moving on campus. People were getting saved and set free. I remember even in our dorm room, we had a Bible study and we had someone coming to know Jesus. Meanwhile, smelling marijuana and smelling stuff and hearing things. It was a dorm room right down the road. So crazy stuff. And I remember going up on a hill. It was kind of in the middle of all the fraternities, there was a playground up there. And I'm up there sitting on a swing one night, just crying out to the Lord, like, I don't understand how I can be used by you. Like, God is, you're moving on this campus. I feel like I'm in the middle of it. I'm having a blast.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling in school.
Yeah.
Like, I'm struggling to pass some of these things. And I have no passion for any of these things. And I think that's where, that's where I got the first call from the Lord. And he was like, well, how about you obey me and go to ministry? And I'm like, oh my. I was Moses. I'm like, I can't talk.
Right, right.
I can't do all the things. So yeah, I had all the excuses, but finally I had to just, I went to a couple churches after that in the area and got confirmation a couple times. One time it was like this 80-year-old lady just came up and was like, I would say prophesied over me, but like it lined up right with what God had spoken to me.
And again, not somebody who really had connection with you and would have known.
No.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I don't know if I've never seen that lady again. So I don't even know like,
who she really was or why happened, or any of those things.
Went and told my parents. That was kind of hard because I was the first grandson.
We'll just keep going. It's fine.
I was the first grandson from my mom's side. My mom came from Italy. She's an import. She came over on the boat when she was about 2 years old.
That's amazing.
And so everyone was like, I don't know. My grandpa was really like proud of Jeremy. He's in college. He's doing the thing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, yeah, kind of changing courses here.
Yeah.
And but my parents loved it. They were like so excited. And they're like, we knew it. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me? Because God had to tell
you. That's right.
Right?
That's some impressive restraint on your parents' part too, to have that sense and to just let it play out and let God do what he's going to do. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's hard for me as a parent to let my kids explore and go and do.
Mine aren't even teenagers yet. And I'm already kind of there with you.
I just want to control. But, no, that was great. And it was confirmation. That was, again, confirmation.
Yeah.
So met Lydia there also.
Who's Lydia?
Lydia's my wife. And so we've been married for 32 years. And we have three amazing kids. Keely's 20, and she's going to be a junior at Mount Vernon this year. And she is studying psychology and sports management and really feels God's call in her life to help people who are struggling with mental. I would say like, what's that called? Whenever, like we saw in a lot of sports people and they're like, oh, I can't play today because.
Yeah. Just general kind of like mental health, mental fatigue.
Yes. I mean, mental health, like kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, yeah, Keely's a junior and she's studying psychology, sports medicine, really wants to help people with mental health. Mario is 19 and he just graduated and he wants to serve our country. And I'm just so excited for him and that. And Malachi is going to be a junior in high school this year. And man, he is so smart. Like the other day, like even yesterday, we're coming back from his soccer practice and he's like, so. And he goes on about this and this other thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, that's the motto. That's actually the motto for fascism. And that's the motto for socialism. And I'm like, I don't even know. I'm dumb. When I'm around Malachi, I just feel stupid. So he knows so much. So
I appreciate his intentional antagonism. Because again, I think that's how, especially when you're young, as he still is. I mean, it's how you start to get to truth. You know, it's by asking tough questions and pushing hard when you're in a place where it's safe to do so. And I love that he's doing that. He's not just one to just take the pat answer and be like, okay, that's enough for me. He wants to know and he wants to dig. And, you know, you can dig too deep sometimes. That's very true. But
yeah.
I do appreciate that about him very much.
He's a reader. Yeah. I've never met a kid who reads as much as he does.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
Love that.
So love that. And came here on staff in 2007. Can you believe that?
That's crazy. That is crazy.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago. As my dad says, we were all a lot younger then, you know.
Does that make me a lifer?
I would say so. Yeah, you'd be put in that category in my mind.
But transitioned, I mean, well, I came here in youth ministry.
Yeah.
And a couple years ago now, I think it's going on 2 years now, transitioned and pastor came and just said, we were just really feel like this would be an amazing seat for you to work in prayer and to work in care ministry. And so that's where I am now.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. So talk to us a little bit about, because we do have Grief Share getting ready to start, and we obviously did a promo for this last Sunday, but I would love for you to, first of all, I want people to be aware that like you brought that to us. That was not on our radar at all as a DLT or really even as a staff, but somehow the Holy Spirit led you to it. And so talk a little bit about the inception of that, but then also just kind of give a little pitch for it.
Right. Well, God brought it to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't on my radar either. And as I dove into caring for people as best I could, I just started just getting a burden and a heart for how many people were grieving and trying to navigate loss.
And I remember you talking specifically about like long-term grief too, especially.
Long-term grief also. But like I remember 1 month, I think the ladies in the office, I think Sarah, she's so amazing, but she brought up for me, she's like, do you realize we had like in our family, somewhere in our church family connected, like 18 deaths this month? I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I just started praying about it and praying about it. And an article came across my feed. It said, 8 things I wish my pastor knew about grieving.
Hmm.
I was like, I want to know those things.
Absolutely.
So quickly bought that, got that, read through it. I was like, wow, this is, I've done some of these things. I've made some of these mistakes.
Yeah, and we all have.
And I didn't know these things. And so that just got me on a journey. And that led me to Grief Share and started to connect with them and found out they've been around for a while and they've been helping people heal and walk through grief and this journey for so long. And I said, man, we need to do this for our people. Even though there's others in the area, we need to do this for our people. So that's kind of how I came to you guys with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, obviously we're not going to get into details because we don't want to expose anybody that's there. And, you know, we do try to guard privacy, but give me a little bit about kind of what a night looks like on any given Grief Share night.
Yeah.
Just give people a little bird's eye view.
Yeah. Praise God. We had our first sessions back in the spring. We're just starting this fall one this Thursday and people can still sign up if they want to, but, it's here at the church and it's a safe place.
Yeah.
It's a safe place. So many times you're grieving and you're going through things and maybe even you come on Sunday and you're like, I'm good, but Thursday's a safe place. You don't have to be good. You can be who you are. And, we will get together. There'll be a little bit of snacks and we'll greet and we'll meet the people at our table. We become a family. Mm-hmm. You're at a table. And so you start to become a family. You start to see them on Sunday morning and they're your people.
Right.
And, we'll catch up a little bit on the past week because there's a book that everyone will get, a workbook. And sometimes there's like, I don't want to call it homework, but there's things you go through that help you in the process. Yep. Things that you saw in the video and then you're processing and then you're working through those through the week. So you go through that and then we watch a video together. The video is usually about 20 minutes and then we break into our tables again and our table lead. We have table leaders. Mm-hmm. Man, the table leaders are amazing. Mm-hmm. All of them, I would say, are continuing their own journey through grief as they're leading others. And that's really the scripture that we've landed on is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, God comforts us so that we can help comfort
Absolutely.
Others and that we can pass it on. And it's not that we've arrived. We're still comforting. It's sometimes the table leaders are like tearing up and they're like, can you guys pray for me today? It's just so real. And so we watch a video, we go through and talk about the video and it talks about all the different things that we're already experiencing, but we don't know that this is kind of normal.
Right. It's giving it a name and making it a common reality.
Yes. Yeah. And then we just kind of finish up in prayer and we do it the next week.
Yeah.
So
one of the things that obviously I've not been a part of grief. I shouldn't say obviously, but I've not been a part of Grief Share at this point, but I was kind of present during one gathering that you guys had that was at my parents' house. My mom was watching my kids, and so I came to get them. And there was just this sense of the Holy Spirit, just even walking into that room. And, you know, it was mid, you know, I don't even know what was happening. You know, I don't know what you guys were doing. I mean, people were sharing.
That was a special night.
But man, it was just that sense of like, man, he's just here and he's doing something. And that sense of camaraderie and that sense of, I mean, you felt it. Again, coming in to pick up my kids. I was in and out. But man, what a powerful thing that has been. And I will say, and again, I know that you're not always so comfortable with this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I just want to say that I've been so blessed to see that and to watch that and see the people and hear from the people that have been touched by that, because I think it's such an extension of how well you care for people and the way that Jesus' heart for people comes through you and your ministry. I have just been so amazed at the consistency of your love for people in all the years that you've been here. And it didn't matter what role you were in, you have just done that. And we always say it, like, I feel like you are like in your wheelhouse right now as part of the care ministry and what you're doing. And it's not because you weren't before, like you were doing everything the Lord was asking you to do. But man, that heart and that consistency over all these years, no matter what's been going on, ups, downs, that has just been so consistent. And I just want to say, I have seen that and it's still so evident in how your ministry is touching people and how you're affecting our church and our people in a positive way. So I don't get to say it often enough, but I want to say it here for sure. And just hope that you know that and you sense that as well.
Well, thank you. I extend that to all you grief share leaders. What he just said goes out to all y'all because they're amazing.
Yes.
So.
Yes, which is great. One of the things that I love is this, I feel like your entire kind of arc, your narrative of life kind of dovetails with some of the things we talked about on Sunday, this idea of your kingdom come. And really the thing that Pastor kept coming back to, man, I just love that line of this is what the king looks like.
Yeah.
This and us being a representation. Really, and one of the things that I, again, appreciate about you is you've been on an up and down journey in ministry, out of ministry, in the church, out of the church. And obviously you've been here for a long time now, but coming up to that, like there was a lot that went on.
Well, and even here, even when you're on staff, there's a lot that goes on.
Yes, there is.
I think that sometimes it, we miss it, don't we?
Yeah.
We miss it a lot of times.
Yeah.
But, I love, there's a scripture, I think it's in James, but love covers a multitude of sins. And I think that like when you love people well and you love him well, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to mess up. But if they know you love them, if he knows you love them, and he knows our heart. And I think that's sometimes we miss that even about God. Like he knows our heart.
Yeah.
It's not the every single moment like, oh, I'm going to get you.
Right.
But your kingdom come, man. What a powerful thought to be like. I, the biggest thing that hit me from the whole thing was right now.
Yeah.
Right now. We don't have to travel somewhere. We don't have to go somewhere different.
Yeah.
We don't have to find it. The Holy Spirit lives in us.
Absolutely.
And we can bring that kingdom into our areas. And so right now, as we're shooting this, our whole congregation, like you guys are all at work. You're at different places. The kingdom of God is with you
right
now.
Yeah.
I just love that was a big takeaway for me.
Yeah.
Take it with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, again, I've seen that reflected in you. I mean, you did that, you know, being in the secular world for a little while between ministry positions, but you just still love Jesus and you still did the things and you were still caring for people. It looked different. And, you know, there were seasons of hurt even for you where you were trying to figure out what was coming next, but that didn't change.
Yeah.
And again, I felt like that so dovetailed with where we were at here. But what do you think is the biggest struggle with people with this idea of like the secular sacred divide? Like, well, no, this is my work life. This is my, you know, spiritual life or my church life. And again, this is not historically, not even just in terms of Christianity, historically, this is not a thing. Secular sacred divide is a very new idea in terms of, you know, how long it's been around, obviously. But what do you think, why do you think that's such a struggle, particularly for the American church, of just this idea of, oh, I can just separate these things?
Yeah, I don't know if we in America get our identity in a spiritual realm. Like if someone walks up to me, they don't ask, you know, how my life with Jesus is.
Yeah.
Even if they don't know me, they ask, what do you do? And what they're saying by that is, what is your identity?
Yeah.
Like what when I answer what I do, if I say I'm an electrician, all of a sudden that like frames who I am and all the all those things. And I just love Pastor always is like, I'm a child of God first.
Right.
I am a child of God. What if we answered it that way? If they said, what do you do?
Child of God.
I am part of the kingdom of God, and I'm trying to represent him well. But that would just, I mean, maybe sound weird to people or whatever and be like, you're over-spiritualizing everything.
People
like,
give a lot of weird answers to things anyway. So if you're going to make it a weird answer, it might as well be a good weird answer. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But I wonder if when we say that, not intentionally, but our identity kind of attaches to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we think that first. But I love, like, I've been going to Forged and the men on Saturday mornings. I just love how they are intentionally saying, yes, I do these things. I'm a father, you know, maybe I'm a grandfather. I'm a business owner, but I'm a follower of Jesus first.
Yeah.
And if we can try to keep that, I think that maybe we can make a shift here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of us can make a shift here. And if some of us make a shift here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that's the biggest thing when you say the divide. We are this, but then in different times. On Sunday, we're this.
I think one of the things that we miss in this idea of your kingdom coming, again, you touched on it, this idea that you're carrying the kingdom with you.
Right.
And in all reality, we are the invasion of that no man's land between the sacred and the spiritual.
That's so good.
The sacred and the secular. And that's part of our mandate. We're going into the world and preaching the gospel, again, not just with the words we say, but we're carrying the Holy Spirit into some place where he otherwise is not represented. Obviously, he's present. He is everywhere. He sees all things. But we're mandated to carry him into that.
Yeah.
And I think so often we look at it as like, well, if somebody else at my job was a Christian, we would get together and we would talk about it. I'm like, but it's not just about your own discipleship. It's about, I mean, I hate to use the word because it's so militaristic, but there is an invading territory aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is no man's land and we're going to take it. And so that idea of I go to work every morning, I go to school every day, and I am carrying intentionally, aware that the Holy Spirit is in me, with me, and that I am carrying him into this place.
Yeah. My wife is a teacher.
Oh, yes.
And I often have said this about her. We'll be at a party. We'll be at a graduation party. We'll be just with people. And she's over there talking to someone like she's, I'm like, do you ever stop teaching? And I think of like sometimes the high level coaches.
Yeah.
It's like they can't turn it off.
Yep.
And I wonder, it doesn't have to be a work thing.
Right.
It could be a fun thing.
Absolutely.
It's just, I don't stop being a representative of Jesus because I just can't turn that off. It's
absolutely,
he's changed my life.
Right. This
like
is my,
I didn't always know him. I didn't always know this freedom.
Right. And again, this is identity. This is who I am.
Yeah.
It's not just what I do. Church is not just a box that I'm ticking. Like, this is who I am. Yeah. I am a child of God first.
So old song, you know, all songs. And who was that? I got to tell somebody.
Oh,
I got to tell somebody.
Oh, who did
tell
that one?
Somebody.
Oh,
what Jesus did for me.
We did it back in the day. I cannot remember the artist though that originally did it. But
not,
yeah, I know
not
exactly.
Scott Wesley talking. Brown.
It might have been. That sounds about right.
Anyway.
One of those three name people, you know.
All right, podcast listeners. If anyone knows, please comment below. Let us know.
Oh my goodness.
Can they comment on these? I don't even know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they can. I'm sure they can. Just one more question here to wrap up because we're getting close to time here. But one of the lines that Pastor said is the idea that Jesus doesn't require relocation.
Right.
But he does require realignment. And you touched on this a little bit, but I want to get into that just a hair bit before we go. What does that really mean to you when you think of that? Can you think of times in your own life where you're like, again, you kind of touched on it with your transition to a ministry calling, but kind of what does that mean? What did that resonate with you?
That's so good. So there's a story. When I was in Minnesota, we volunteer started a youth group at a church. And man, did all the promo and led up to the day, and I had like four girls come. And I was like, oh boy. And for like months and months, there was four or five girls coming.
Yeah.
Faithfully every time. And I'm preaching to them. I'm like, we need to reach our friends and all these things.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like anything's changing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to this.
Yeah, great.
I was like, God, I can't do this. You called me to come and I've got big dreams and we're going to change the world. And like, and I don't know if this is the place and all this stuff. And I remember, man, if he ever spoke to me, it was so strong. He was like, will you stop trying to win the whole city? Mm. Will you stop telling them to evangelize? Will you stop telling them to share about me? Will you just pour into them and disciple them? Realignment. He realigned me. He didn't change my circumstance or anything. He said, no, you're going to stay right here. And I want you to pour in to those five like they're the most important people ever.
Yeah.
I told my wife, we cried, we prayed about it, and we just started being like, you know what? We're just going to give them Jesus the best we can. And that's all we did. And like 2 months, it was like 10 and then 20. And like it grew like crazy. And I'm like, okay, I get it. But like, I think that we think if something's not working or we don't like how something's going or it's just too bad, this workplace, I got to get out of here. I would just encourage you to pray, to seek him and to say, Lord, help me. And how am I seeing things? Give me your perspective. Maybe he does want you to move.
Yeah.
But let's seek his perspective first and allow him to realign the way we're thinking and that we can be carriers of him into those places. So, even people who, even sometimes I think I wanted in the past to chase experiences.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to this place or this place or this place. And he's with us all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
I love that. Holy Spirit lives. The King of Kings has sent the Holy Spirit and he lives in us.
Yeah. The kingdom is here. The kingdom's now.
The kingdom is here.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. This has been great. Jeremy, again, this was wonderful and I appreciate that. But again, just take that challenge with you. You are carriers of the kingdom.
Right.
You are. We are a kingdom of priests. All of us, every single one of us, and we have a mandate to go and to carry him wherever we go. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye, church.